My name is Hannah Drake, and I'm the site editor for SearchVMware.com. You're joining us in our monthly Hypervisor Huddle podcast, so thanks for listening in. Today, we're going to be discussing VMware's offer to Virtual Iron customers, how VMware has redone its pricing and packaging to retain SMB customers, and whether or not VMware is fated to suffer a Novell-like fate now that Microsoft Hyper-V is around the corner. Joining us today is news writer for TechTarget, Bridget Botello, and respected VMware expert and SearchVMware.com contributor, Eric Siebert. Eric, could you tell our listeners about your professional background?
Sure. I've been in the IT industry for about 25 years and specializing in virtualization for the last few years. I run my own website, vSphereLAN.com, and I blog for SearchVMware.com.
Okay, let's get started. Last week, VMware announced that it would be giving Virtual Iron users a deal to switch to VMware. Do we think this is because VMware is afraid of Oracle and sees Oracle as a threat? What are your thoughts, Bridget?
Well, I took it as, you know, they're trying to attract some users that could potentially go to Hyper-V. A lot of those guys are probably Windows users, and they're possibly, you know, just trying to attract a portion of the market that they wouldn't otherwise have. What do you think, Eric?
I think along the same lines. I think that it's a smart move, and, you know, at this point, Oracle VM isn't much of a threat to VMware. It's still a really small product, and they don't have a lot of customers using their product. You know, basically what they're doing here is just trying to get, like you said, those customers that may go over to Hyper-V or looking for alternatives. Oracle kind of really pissed off a lot of those people, you know, by, you know, yanking the support for Virtual Iron. And they're going to be looking for alternatives, and most likely they won't be going to Oracle VM because of the way Oracle is treating them. So VMware, you know, was a smart move by, you know, kind of announcing reduced prices and trying to attract those customers to VMware, who has definitely has a better product right now than Microsoft does.
Yeah, and I also thought, like, well, VMware is going to give, what, a 40% discount to Virtual Iron users. What about all the VMware users that are paying full price? I'm sure that's not going to go over well.
No, probably not. But, you know, that's kind of common sometimes in the industries where you want to attract customers of a product that has kind of failed or shut down for whatever reasons and that. You know, I think at some point VMware is going to have to, you know, they're already kind of working on SMB deals and things like that to kind of cut costs and that. But to be able to keep up with Microsoft and all their free products that they're giving out, they're going to have to do, you know, more of this kind of discounting to attract customers and, you know, retain customers and things like that. So I think existing customers, I don't think they'll be too offended by that deal, especially customers that have just bought VMware products, because it's basically aimed at, you know, a certain group of people that they don't have much recourse. They can't really continue using their product, and they need to go elsewhere and just get those products, people over to VMware's product.
What kind of deals is VMware hatching for the SMB, or are they available now?
Yeah, basically those essentials packages they put together where they're trying to bundle. One product that's been kind of out of reach for a lot of SMBs is Virtual Center, because it's always been pretty pricey. So what they've done is kind of bundled Virtual Center, or vCenter Server as it's called now, into an offering with ESX licenses. So you can get ESX licenses and vCenter all together to, you know, for a greatly reduced price. You'd normally pay, you know, full price for all those licenses and that. So it works out good for people that don't have huge environments, just need, you know, a few licenses. And the vCenter server, which opens up a lot more features and functionality that you can use. And so those essentials type packages are, you know, great for small companies that are looking to virtualize.
And this is available now?
It is. It's part of the vSphere licensing, the Essentials and Essentials Plus. Basically, it replaced the old foundation suites that they had that were kind of along the same things. They were little bundles for small businesses.
We're seeing a lot of chatter about what's going to happen when the next version of Hyper-V comes out. Personally, I don't think VMware users are going to defect and move over to Hyper-V, but newcomers to virtualization will probably definitely look at Hyper-V seriously, especially Windows users. How do you see the market once Hyper-V R2 is available?
Well, you know, vSphere jumped the gun on Microsoft and opened up, you know, VMware's product to, you know, much more robust features and functionality and that. So, sure, Hyper-V is going to be the next release, is going to have a lot of the features that Microsoft has been promising for quite a long time now, but it's only going to be still catching up to VMware. You know, it's not going to be, they're not doing any innovation really. They're still basically, you know, just trying to duplicate what VMware has, and they're still way behind. So I think shops that are predominantly Microsoft might look at, you know, adding Hyper-V into their environment just because it is another Microsoft product. But the VMware product is so far ahead of a Hyper-V at this point, and will probably continue to be in the near future, that the next version of Hyper-V, you know, while they are catching up and they're catching up quickly or as quickly as they can, they still lag behind. So I think, you know, a lot of the existing customers, you know, maybe if they're unhappy with VMware, which, you know, what I find, most people that use VMware aren't unhappy. It's a great product, and it works well in environments. So I think most of the current customers will probably, you know, stick with what they have. But I think it's definitely at some point worth checking out Hyper-V just to see how it compares with VMware, because it may make sense for some shops to switch over if it fits better into their environments.
So given that train of thought, how does that play into the VMware becoming the next Novell analogy that's been on the blogosphere lately?
Yeah, people are comparing VMware to Novell, who, and I list for the whole Novell thing. I was a Novell engineer way back when. And, you know,
to be smashed by Microsoft.
Yeah. Novell was the dominant player in the networking operating system, you know, way back when. And I think the comparison is not, you know, it's a little bit valid, but it's not completely the same situation as Novell is in. Another comparison that I often steer people at is Lotus Notes or Lotus Domino versus Exchange. Again, you have the same thing. You had a great dominant email product, and you had Microsoft came along, built Exchange, and the two started competing. At the time, Domino was way ahead, and then Exchange kind of caught up and has passed it in that. But both products still exist. Both products have humongous customer bases. And the big difference there is, like, Lotus has IBM's backing, where Novell doesn't really have had a parent company. They didn't really have anybody to fall back on for financial support and things like that. VMware has EMC, another big company, for a parent company that can get support from. And, you know, I think if VMware can learn from situations like the Novell situation, like the Netscape situation, where companies were crushed by Microsoft, having an ex-Microsoft guy at the helm definitely helps, because he knows how they work, he knows their strategies and that, and he knows what to do to counter a lot of the stuff they do. So I think that as long as they play it smart and kind of work their products and kind of to keep up with Microsoft and to make sure that they maintain the lead, you know, it's other things like not just your product, it's your customer service, it's your support, it's your management applications, it's your the strong third-party vendor support that you have around there. They have all those things right now, and they do them well. So as long as they maintain that and offer a great product, they should be able to keep their existing customers and hopefully, you know, attract new customers and keep people from going over to Hyper-V.
Now, on the other side of the coin, is there a doorway open for that kind of train wreck of a path to happen? I mean, we have the VP of Gartner blogging about it as an idea.
It's definitely, you know, a possibility. Any product that Microsoft kind of competes with, you know, eventually Microsoft is so big and they have, you know, so much money and so many products that they can afford to lose money at one product to gain customers, you know, and basically to crush whatever competition that they may have in that product area. So, you know, it's definitely something that VMware has to play it smart. They have to do the things that are going to keep them in the lead and keep people from defecting to Microsoft. You know, a lot of that is targeting certain markets, doing some smart marketing, upgrades and discounts and things like that, just to attract customers and keep their current customers in that. So, you know, I think it all depends on how the ball's in VMware's court. They're the ones that are, they're in the lead right now. You know, they got the ball, so it's their move, basically. Whatever they can do, you know, they may do a wrong move, which may allow Microsoft to catch up, or they may make smart moves, which will, you know, let them keep their lead and stay strong.
Right. It kind of seems like VMware's strategy as far as Hyper-V R2 is to just keep forging ahead and being the innovative company that's become known as far as the virtualization space. I mean, have you heard anything different to that? It just seems like they're not really getting on the defensive yet.
Not yet. It'll be interesting when it comes closer to Hyper-V coming out, because of the things like Microsoft offering the some of the things for free that VMware, you know, currently requires you to pay for. So it'll be interesting to see how they react. It'll be interesting to see what happens at VMworld. I think a smart move would be for VMware to do something to steal Microsoft's thunder around the time of the Hyper-V launch, and that to kind of, you know, give them, you know, because of the Hyper-V launch is going to be really big, and they're going to make a lot of big fanfare around it. So VMware Smart, they may do something right before then to, you know, whether it's another free offering, cutting costs, whatever, you know, to kind of, you know, kind of steal some of Microsoft's thunder and to kind of downplay the announcement of the new version coming out.
Yeah, and I think by lowering their prices, trying to attract those virtual line customers, most of the virtual line customers are small, medium-sized businesses who would also use Hyper-V. So, you know, by doing with that strategy, they're kind of trying to attract some potential Hyper-V customers. And it seems that they are going to for the SMB market a little bit more these days. So
yeah, and that's critical right there because Microsoft traditionally dominates in that area. So they need to really, you know, they can make prices attractive as they want, but unless they get their message out and advertise their products, customers may not even know about them and may go to Microsoft, you know, without even checking out VMware. So,
right, because it comes free with their OS if they're upgrading to Server 2008.
So it's important that they get their, you know, word out, market it right, and, you know, attract those customers so they can keep people from going to Microsoft.
Right. It does seem, though, I mean, just paying attention to VMware's releases and so on over the past year, that one thing they have been good about is listening to the feedback that's out there. Because it seems that once there's some kind of criticism against VMware, within the next 4 months, they've turned around and addressed it. Would you say that's on point? Or?
Yeah, I'd say they are very good about listening. I found that in many things where people have complained about this or that. Not everything. There's some things that they don't change or they won't just because of maybe their business model or something like that that doesn't fit in with that. But for the most part, they're very good about listening to customers. They basically listen to what customers want, what features they want, things like that, and incorporate them into their products and that. So that's something they're very good at. I think some other things that they might help to maybe attract customers or to get people excited about their new products is more open betas. Like for vSphere, for example, it was a private beta. Now, if they went with a public beta, people could download for free. They could see all the new things in it and excite them about the product and, you know, get people to see what's upcoming in the next release compared to, you know, what Hyper-V has today or may have in the future.
Well, I guess time will tell. It's VMware's game to lose or to win, so.
Yeah, I still think there's a lot to be said, though, for the fact that, you know, VMware is kind of the reigning market leader with this. And, you know, even though Microsoft has a history, it's still going to be the newer kid on the street. You know what I mean? I don't know how much trust is going to be put into their product just because VMware has been around with doing this for longer.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the whole Hyper-V thing is still a relatively new product, so a lot of people are kind of watching it and seeing how it matures and that. So VMware obviously is the market leader and has the best product right now. So like you said, it's basically their game to win or lose right now. They can.
You know, I think as long as VMware has good customer support, good products, then yeah, they'll be the exception to the Microsoft rule.
Well, actually, in other news, since we did mention VMworld, the Best of VMworld nomination is about to open up. So, listeners, if you want to nominate a product, it doesn't have to be a PR person. You can nominate your own favorite product. Check out searchvmware.com and searchservervirtualization.com, and the nomination forms should be up. So go ahead and nominate away. We'll see who the winners are at VMworld. And I'll be there. So will a lot of the TechTarget editorial staff as far as Search VMware and SearchServerVirtualization.com. So we'll see you there. Feel free to hit us up. We will have an editorial booth on the floor. So, all right. Well, that wraps it up for today. Thanks for joining us, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
And we'll see you next time.